So we did finish the slides on the nucleus last week, correct? With the video, was the last one we finished? Yes, I thought so. Okay. So when I was finishing out that last week, we did talk a little bit when we were looking at DNA and so forth. Does everyone remember what a codon is? Okay, right? Three bases. We also remember that those nitrogenous bases, do they pair? Do they pair? Yes. What's the pairing? A2, C2. Correct. Okay. So when we're looking at the DNA, I spoke quite a lot about how the DNA molecule is actually the recipe book, right? And it has genes in it. So a DNA molecule is made of genes, and each of those genes represents the recipe for a specific protein. And we have to also have to remember that proteins are made up of amino acids, of which there are 20, 10 we eat and 10 we create. Okay? So with all that in mind, then we have to consider those in terms of how are all these proteins made. As the question alluded to, and as I've said many times in class, everything's about creating proteins, right? Because of all the roles that they play in human physiology, and without proteins, we wouldn't be able to function properly. So we went through a few things last week. We talked about the nucleus and the nucleolus, and what was made in the nucleolus? RNA, correct. And how many types of RNA are there? Do you remember what they were called? Messenger RNA, ribosomal, and transfer. Okay, so all three of those are going to be involved in the creation of protein. Okay? And we also talked about ribosomes. Remember, we talked about two subunits. And when we're actively creating proteins, those subunits come together. So we're going to see this whole relationship of all of these structures coming together to create proteins. Okay? So we can kind of see them here in the short way, but we're going to go through this entire process of all of these eight things happening, right? Yeah, five, six, seven, eight. All these eight steps are all going to work together to create not a protein yet, but a string of bonded amino acids. And when amino acids are bonded together, the bond is called a peptide bond. So think of a pearl necklace with, those tiny pearls kind of in a row, but think more instead, the string running through, you kind of can see the exposed string from each pearl as it works along the line, and that's ultimately what you'll kind of see in most drawings. You'll see it here as well, this peptide chain here that is working its way, getting longer, will eventually become a protein. So protein synthesis is the process by which the diverse number of proteins is created. As stated previously, it is the type of proteins that determine the physical and chemical characteristics of cells and therefore the organism. So we have enzymes, which work as chemical influencers in terms of processes. We have muscles, actin and myosin, our filaments made of protein. So it plays a lot of roles. Protein is also used in the immune response and our ability to fight invaders, bacteria and viruses, for example. So proteins get involved in that component as well. When a gene's DNA is used to create the template for a protein, it's called a gene expression. So remember that we have this DNA molecule, and we have these segments of genes in the DNA molecule, and each of those represents a recipe to create these diverse proteins that the body needs, whatever that protein is, right? They'll expose that part of the DNA. So what is it? We already talked a little bit about it. I think I did the slide last week, didn't I? I think I should review it anyways, just because. That's why I didn't put it on the test. So, in transcription, the information encoded in a specific region of DNA is transcribed, and the key word there is copied. Remember, DNA can't leave the nucleus, but we don't want it to, because otherwise it would get damaged, and the potential for mutations would go up and up every time we tried to make a copy of the DNA molecule, right? So it stays in there. So we have to copy the gene. And then the copy is what leaves the nucleus, not the DNA molecule that has the original gene. Everybody follow me so far? So we have to copy it. And that is done by a specific molecule of RNA. In translation, That RNA that was created when we copied the gene, attach it to a ribosome where the information in the RNA is translated into the corresponding sequence of amino acids to create the protein. So I'm not a math guy, but if you have four different proteins, mathematically, how many combinations could you have? Quite a lot, right? So within that, you can have a lot of combinations depending on what you want, right? So this occurs, transcription occurs in the nucleus. All three RNA are made in the nucleus and basically the nucleolus. So we have to remember those three that you mentioned, they're all created here, inside here, okay? DNA is too large a molecule to exit out through the nuclear pores, so therefore the gene sequence has to be copied, and it is the copy that is a smaller package that is able to exit out the nuclear pore to get to the ribosomes, which are where? RER, right? The rough endoplasmic reticulum, if in fact those proteins are going to go where? Generally, outside. And free floating ribosomes for, that will create proteins that are used inside the cell. Correct. Okay. The gene sequence must be copied into a smaller package in order to leave the nucleus. The sequence of base triplets represents the genetic information. So the process of the transcription then, of course, is the copying of the genetic instructions. Remember, each three bases represents one amino acid, whatever that combination is. Okay. So the first thing that happens is, we have to have something that unwinds the DNA. Because remember we saw last week that when we looked at the ladder that represented DNA, right, we saw what? We saw bases. What else did we see? A sugar and? Correct. Right. So we had a backbone, which were the rungs of the ladder. We had the rungs up and down, or rungs go across? Rungs go across, so what are these called? I don't know, stabilizers, whatever. So this part of the DNA is the phosphate, right? And then, of course, we have the sugars, which are the rungs, and within that is also the rungs is the nitrogenous bases. We also, because it is a double helix, which meaning that there's two sides, and they are copies of each other, right? We have two base pairs facing each other in DNA through the pairing sequence of G, C, and A, and T. Correct. And they are held together by a hydrogen bond. When the DNA molecule is in its normal state of its twisted helix and the base pairs are bonded together in hydrogen, that DNA is unreadable because it's not exposed. It's tight together and it can't be seen. So we need to be able to break the hydrogen bond, thus exposing one side or the other of the DNA so that it can be read. Does it matter which side you copy? Why? Right, because it's the same. Okay? Because it's the same. It's a different way of looking at it, but still the same based on the base pairing. Okay? So we have to unzip the DNA to access it, and then we have to read it. And remembering that every three base equals one, and one codon equals an amino acid. Correct. Okay? So we have to be able to read all the nitrogenous bases in the gene from one end to the other, and then every three represents an amino acid that has to be eventually gotten to, but we have to first copy the base pairs. So, first thing we have is RNA polymerase, unwinds the DNA and breaks the hydrogen bond. So RNA polymerase splits the bond and wraps itself around the DNA molecule, and it is the one that is going to start to read the exposed side of the DNA. Then, the very first, in a gene, the very first three bases is the promoter. So at the beginning of a gene is the promoter, which tells the RNA polymerase where to attach to begin the transcription. So there is a part of DNA that tells the polymerase where to start. Okay, kind of like your index in your cookbook. Go to page 325 and you'll find how to make a chocolate souffle, right? So You know, it knows where to go for whatever gene is created or whatever protein that needs to be created. Now, RNA polymerase begins pairing bases in a complementary pattern, right? So when we look at DNA, remember C, 2, G, and A, 2, T. In RNA, what becomes what? A becomes U, correct. So U doesn't exist in DNA, but it exists in RNA, representing the complementary pair of A. Okay, everybody so far got it? All right, so let's watch the first one. Oh, I did this one last week, didn't I? Yeah, this is the one we looked at. Okay, let's go to the next one. When we hit the promoter at the beginning of the gene, well, we have to know when to stop copying the DNA gene, right? So therefore, we have to have a nucleotide called the terminator, and the polymerase then leaves the transcribed RNA and DNA, and then the DNA zips back together. So we have a promoter that is the start of the gene, and we have the terminator, easy to remember, right? I'll be buck, right? We have the terminator at the end, so the RNA polymerase knows where to start and where to finish to copy all the bases to create the required protein. How are we doing so far? Okay? All right. The newly created RNA then is called messenger RNA. So what RNA polymerase does, by reading and transcribing the exposed DNA, it creates the first RNA that you guys said, which is messenger RNA. So the resultant RNA, the long string of copied bases in the DNA, is now called messenger RNA. So it's carrying the message of the copied DNA. How are we doing? So far, so good? Yeah? Okay. And it is the mRNA that exits out of the nucleus via the nuclear envelope and the nuclear pores. So it's small enough to slide out the pores and go off to say hello to a ribosome. Yeah? All right. This is cool. I have to turn this off for a moment. Okay. So any questions on that at that point? So you can see then we had the RNA polymerase there, came together, splits the DNA, reads it, and creates this, that yellow ticker tape thing coming out the top. That's your mRNA. So we've transcribed. We've unzipped the DNA. We've looked at the gene. We've created the messenger RNA copy that has now left the nucleus. And the next step is to take that transcribed mRNA molecule and have it read so that we can create a polypeptide chain, which will become a viable protein. Everybody follow me? So the newly created nucleotide sequence specifies the amino acid sequence to create the new protein. And so by having the copy of the DNA, every three base pairs equals an amino acid that the ribosome will eventually, we'll learn, will create a peptide bond to the next amino acid in the three, and then three, and then three, and then three, and so forth, okay? Translation is carried out by ribosomes. Like I said, I talked last week, I think, about, you know, a cassette tape or a VCR tape, right? It runs across a head that reads it, and we get a movie, right? Same idea here is that that tape that was created, that messenger RNA that was created, it runs through the ribosome. Actually, the ribosome runs through it, but that's okay. You get the idea. And it reads every three base pairs and sends out a message for the specific amino acid it's asking for. Remember that ribosomes have two subunits. The small one is for binding with the mRNA, and the large one is for binding with tRNA, and it has three binding sites, a P site, an A site, and an E site. So the two subunits, the small one is where the The messenger RNA runs through, okay? The large one, when we read, just from, say, we should always say a common sense point of view, when three base pairs or a codon, really called the anticodon now because it's the copy, okay? When that gets read, the message goes out for the amino acid that those three represent. The tRNA that's mentioned there is called transfer RNA. It goes out and gets the specified amino acid and brings it back to the large subunit and enters into the subunit. Then the base pair moves along another three, and there's a request for another amino acid. A transfer RNA will bring in that new required amino acid. So now we'll have two amino acids in the large subunit. It is in the large subunit that we create the peptide bond, where the first one that I just mentioned and the second one that came in are bonded together in a peptide bond. Everybody understand that? Yes, no, maybe? So. Yeah, so we have the two subunits, and the small subunit actually is where it's the one that attaches to the messenger RNA, remembering that the messenger RNA was created by transcribing the gene in the DNA, so it's the one that's left, so it's the one carrying the recipe for the specific protein required. And it is the large subunit where the peptide, where the amino acids that are being asked for with every three pairs are bound together to create the peptide chain, which will eventually become a viable protein. All right, so we have three sites. The P site is where the peptide bonds are created. So it's where we take two amino acids and zook, we bind them together with a peptide bond. The A site is where the next amino acid is to be bonded, and the E site is where the empty tRNA leaves. I need four volunteers. One, two, come on, two more. Three, four. Okay, come on down. I've never been able to say that before. I feel like Bob Barker. Come on down. Is the price right? The price is right, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, so come on over. You three, actually, maybe we should do it back there. There's more room. You're going to stay there. Okay, come on over. You are the P site, okay? Hang on, we're over here. You're the P site. No, let's do it this way. You're the P site, you're the A site, and you're the E site, okay? I need one more person. I'll be it. I'm the transfer RNA, okay? Now, the peptide bond is in the small subunit at this part, or not the, sorry, the mRNA is in the small subunit at this point, and it's being read, right? So we've read our first three base pairs, and it's asked for a particular protein, okay? So I am the transfer RNA, right? So we're going to see here, the A site is where the amino acid is to be bonded, and the E site is where the empty tRNA leaves, okay? So I'm going to mix up a little bit because I didn't set them up right, but they can be that way. So I'm the tRNA. So I'm going to grab leucine here, okay? Because that's what the three base pairs have asked for, okay? So I'm going to come over here into the enter site, okay? And I'm going to stand here in the A site, all right? And I'm holding on to him. Actually, I need two more people. Two more people over here. Two more people over here. Come on.
Come on, somebody.
Two people, come on. All right, two people. Okay. So, you're the next tRNA, and you're an amino acid. Okay? So, I've come here into the A site. Now, the messenger RNA is going to run the next three pair. And the next three pair are going to ask for what? An amino acid. So, you're going to be the tRNA because we've read the next three pair. So, you're going to grab thymine. So, come on in, and we're going to go over one. Okay, so I'm going to go into the P site, right? And you're coming into the A site, okay? We are in the large subunit. So large subunit, you're going to hold hands. all of a sudden it's going to create a peptide bond, okay? Yes, they're bonded, okay? Now the messenger RNA is going to go and move down three more pairs, correct? Which is going to ask for another, okay? So somebody grab somebody and come on down. Come on, somebody. Somebody grab somebody. Me too. Okay? So I'm doing this on purpose because, stop there for a sec. So this is way out in the cell somewhere, right? So the amino acid is floating around. So the message has gone out to say, I need this amino acid. So the transfer RNA, come on down, is going to grab that amino acid. Come on down. Come on down. Yeah, okay, you're the transfer RNA, okay, with the new amino acid. So because we've read the next three, we're all going to move down one. So come on in. Okay, so we're going to move down one, but you're not. I'm going to move down one, and you're going to move ahead. So I'm going to move down one. You're going to move down one with her. Okay, now we've got a bond. We have our first peptide bond. I'm empty, so I'm out of here, okay, because I'm not needed anymore. So what's going to happen? Boom, you two are going to hold hands, okay, and then you're going to shift down one, both of you. A new one's going to come in. You're gone. You're out of here, right? And then the new one who comes in, you guys are going to move that way. You get the idea? And on and on and on and on. Thanks. Okay? So that's what happens, right? All right, so. Yeah.
Every three.
Right. Now, we really slowed it down, but as it's sliding down, every three is one comes in, chunk, bond, I'm out of here to go get another one. Because I'm responsible for leucine. She was responsible for thionine. Someone else is responsible for phenylalanine. Right? So they all get called. Yes. Of the empty transfer RNA. The letters add up, don't they? Make sense, right? Yeah, they make sense. If you give them a name, right? You could say A for amino acid, P for peptide bond, E for exit. Part of that bonding breaks you away from me. Okay? Well, there's a start codon and there is a stop codon. We'll get there. All right? It's called methionine. The start is methionine. It's always methionine. Am I pronouncing it right? Methionine? Yeah. Okay? The start codon is always methionine. So, what we see here is another video. Sometimes interpretive dance works, sometimes it doesn't.